This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Back by popular demand, we have with us today former Ambassador Carla J. Sands. And she is very busy in her position as chairwoman of the America First Foreign Policy Initiative, America First Policy Institute. Tell you a little bit about her background. She was born in 1960, an American businesswoman who was chair and CEO of Vintage Capital Group during the first Trump administration from 2017 to 21. She was ambassador to Denmark. A former chiropractor, actress, Carla Sands married business executive Fred Sands in 99. Following his death in 2015, she succeeded him as chair and CEO of Vintage Capital Group. During Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign, she was an economic advisor to Trump and a major donor to his campaign and inaugural committee. Carla Sands was a candidate in the Republican primary in the 2022 U.S. Senate election in Pennsylvania. We had her in Buffalo to speak at the Amherst Republican Committee and also at the Buffalo Club. So it's an honor to have her back on the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. Let's talk about NATO. And you probably had a lot of dealings with NATO as ambassador to Denmark. And wondering how they're faring with this terrible Ukraine war that goes on and on and on. Ambassador Sands.
Well, thank you, Brian. Thank you for that introduction. It's great to talk to you and all of your listeners. I did do a lot with NATO when I was U.S. ambassador to the Kingdom of Denmark. So that's Denmark, Greenland, and the Faroe Islands. I worked with President Trump's first ambassador to NATO, Kay Bailey Hutchinson, and I asked for assets for the Arctic, and also we were having issues countering China, and NATO was focused almost purely on Russia, and it seemed like it was important to refocus or expand the focus of NATO. But exciting things are happening with NATO today. Remember, when President Trump first came into office, he visited NATO and Ted said to the NATO countries that Barack Obama had gotten to agree to a 2% of their GDP toward their defense back in, I think it was 2014, after Russia initially invaded Ukraine. And most of them were not reaching the 2%, and Trump basically threatened them. There was nothing else that was going to get them to change. They want to spend their taxpayer dollars on welfare benefits, goody pops for their population, like free college, free health care, free child care, all of these things, lavish pensions. And so he did get a majority of them to give more. In fact, I think he got about $400 billion more toward NATO defense. But it was Russia invading back in 2022 Ukraine with a full invasion with ground troops that inspired NATO to not only raise, just recently when Trump was there, they agreed to raise to 5% of their GDP within 10 years, which is huge, but also Finland and Sweden, who had been quasi-members of NATO, but they didn't have the Article 5 guarantee. They had great defenses, and they were actively working with exercises with NATO allies, but they weren't fully in the camp, are now fully members of NATO. So that's very exciting developments, Brian.
Well, let's talk about Trump's recent initiatives to sell NATO, United States defense arms for them. They're paying for it. We give it to them. They're giving it to the Ukraine, to Zelensky, to fight the Russian bear. Are these new NATO weaponry coming from the United States going to help the war to conquer Putin?
Well, it's a complicated answer, and here's why. The war would end tomorrow if China stopped supporting Ukraine. They're doing all kinds of support. If China stopped supporting Russia. So it's not just with finances, but it's also with technology and literally boots on the ground. So China is enabling Russia to continue to prosecute this war. So it would end tomorrow if they stopped. But Ukraine is on the losing end of this, and here's why. They're running out of men, military-age men. They have conscription. They're forcibly kidnapping people off the streets in Ukraine and putting them into the front lines. I think the average age of the soldiers in Ukraine is in the mid to late 40s at this point. So, and they just don't have as big a population as Russia. And then Russia also has, boots on the ground from North Korea and other allied countries. So Ukraine can't win the war with Russia. Russia is a country that grinds out a war and just takes inches and doesn't mind losing men. And they're not losing men from the streets of Moscow. It's from the countryside and the satellite countries. So Russia has a wartime economy. The Europeans have not changed to a wartime economy, neither has the U.S. Russia's making more munitions than the EU and the U.S. combined. So Russia is in a grinding war. Eventually, Russia wins. And that's why President Trump is so brilliant in tying trade to getting a ceasefire, because I like to think of the book called The Art of War by Sun Tzu, win the war without firing a shot. So President Trump is now saying to trading allies like India, and there's going to be others too, there are some of them in Europe, listen, if you continue to use Russian oil, we're going to put 100% tariff on you, meaning it's going to kill their economy. And what that may do is have these other countries like India pressure Russia, listen, you guys need to get to a ceasefire because now you're damaging us. You can't damage us. We like to buy your oil cheap, but we're not going to do it and kill our economy. And so let's see what happens. He shortened that 50-day period that Russia had to get to a ceasefire to, I think it's coming up, the end of 10 days is going to be, I believe it's this week. So Russia has a very short window to come to a decision. Putin's got to look like he's winning something in order to keep his life, right? And be able to walk away not a loser. But these countries and their pressure on Russia will be very important. And I have to say, China's also buying the Russian energy. And, if Xi Jinping picks up the phone and tells Putin this is it, then Russia will have to, they'll have to respond, because Russia's now, it's basically working for China.
Doesn't this go back to the old Ronald Reagan playbook of bankrupting the Soviet Union to destroy communism? And now Trump seems to be trying to bankrupt Russia by putting these tariffs on these countries doing business with Russia, that they'll be economically impaired, drive Russia broke to get them to the peace table.
Brian, it's so brilliant that you ask about Ronald Reagan. When you told me you wanted to talk today, the person that came to my mind was Ronald Reagan. Because I agree with you. This is the closest thing we've seen in America in modern times to Ronald Reagan, is President Trump and his, 3D chess he's playing here. He's not, and he's unpredictable, which also keeps adversaries off balance. Yes, I think that he is, he's today's version from the private sector as a businessman. Ronald Reagan was a different kind of businessman. But I agree with you. Yeah, I think it's very Reagan-esque.
Well, hope for the future. Our guest today is a great diplomat and stateswoman, Carla J. Sands, former ambassador to Denmark, now chair of America First Foreign Policy Initiative, America First Policy Institute. If you're listening in Cheektowaga, New York, or Montreal or Washington, D.C., as we blanket 17 states and much of Canada, please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226, and we greet cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners. A little plug here. Summer is a time for the 3 R's, rest, relaxation, and reading. Enjoy your summer and get your copy of the AMPO Legal newspaper on your digital device, whether at home or traveling around the world. News, historic, and cultural features from the Polish-American perspective can be delivered to your email inbox each week for less than 40 cents a week. The AMPO Legal is offering a hot deal, $19 for 52 issues. Go online at the AMPO Legal to subscribe or call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454. Don't miss out on what's happening in Poland or Polonia. Get your digital AMPO Legal today. A little bit more information about Ambassador Carla Sands. She was born Carla J. Hurd, daughter of Jack, a chiropractor, and Barbara Hurd in 1960. She grew up in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Carla Sands attended Cumberland Valley High School, where she was active in student council, ski club, and various other student-led organizations. She studied art and science at Indiana University of Pennsylvania and chemistry at Elizabethtown College. Our guest today, Carla J. Sands. Okay, let's talk about the trade tariffs. If we're going to see a level field, what we've had for many, many years is where when we send product to other countries, there's a big tariff, they send it here, there's nothing. The trade deficit became enormous. Are we going to see trade tariffs leveling off so we have free and fair trade? Ambassador Carla Sands.
Well, thanks for the question, Brian. I think there's two kind of main prongs of the trade tariffs and why they're being so successful. And all of the, you know, smart economists, I understand there's 20,000 that work for Jay Powell at the Fed, I don't know, 20,000 economists that the taxpayers are paying for, and they all got it wrong, and they all contribute to Democrats. I know this is a nonpartisan show, but what the heck? That doesn't sound too balanced to me.
No, not at all.
But the tariffs are bringing in billions of dollars. We just last month, for the first time in, I can't even remember when, had a trade, actually a surplus come into the Treasury. So we incurred no debt in that last month because of the tariffs bringing in the billions. And so it's actually a blessing. But there's another reason besides filling our Treasury, which is how when I worked in Denmark, I realized that Denmark became a great and rich kingdom because the Danish king would tariff everything coming through the Sound. He had a chain across, and every ship that came through had to pay a tariff to the Danish king. And so, and actually it was an American ship before we were a country, we're just a colony, that broke that tariff. But there's another reason, and maybe even more important to President Trump's implementing these tariffs, and that is to reindustrialize America. The government at the state and federal level had incentivized business owners across our country in small towns. You might have a factory, and a lot of the folks in this town worked for the factory. They made enough money. One wage earner could buy a house, own a car, send the kids to school, take a vacation, and have a good life. One person. And what happened is those business owners, those factory owners, they shipped those jobs out of the country. And the government really incentivized this. They deindustrialized America, and that's why you have small towns throughout the Rust Belt in the United States, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, go along there, and you'll find towns that had 30,000, 60,000, and they now have 5,000 people living there. And I get chills when I talk about it, because that was the tragedy, the hollowing out of America, and where those proud working men and women would go to work, and they had beautiful towns and they were prospering, they hollowed out, and you started to see people with empty eyes. They were drinking or taking drugs. They weren't employed. And there was newspapers fluttering down the sidewalk with the empty businesses on Main Street. That's what happened across our country, because those jobs went to often Asia and then ultimately to China. China's been building up, doing their manufacturing. Well, President Trump says, not on my watch. And he began this revolution under his first term. Under the second term, he's getting a stronger and earlier start. And you can see the Commerce Secretary and all the different levers of government saying, look, we're going to have these opportunity zones again. We're going to reindustrialize, manufacture, and it's starting to happen. It always feels slower than it should, but it's happening where we're getting the energy production increasing. We see the data centers, and now the data centers, which don't employ that many people, plenty to build it, but not a lot to run it, they're starting to partner with manufacturing so that a manufacturing center will be where the data center is. They both have the energy, so they have the power, and then they've got the transportation hub in place, and both of them can thrive, but the town will get good-paying jobs from the manufacturing jobs. And it's not, the factories don't look like they looked in the 70s or 80s when they started to close. They're now smarter factories. They're much more mechanized. They're higher tech. And it's what it is doing is making America great again, because you can't be a great power if you're just a service economy. If you don't make things like steel and aluminum, your own pharmaceuticals, your own rare earth elements, the rare earth minerals that go into your cell phone, your defense equipment, the electric car batteries, all those things, you have to make them, because if there's a wartime, you have to have industry that can pivot, just like we had to do during World War One, World War Two, where maybe car makers became makers of tanks or aircraft. That has to be in place in order to be able to be a great power in any situation. And that's why I worry about our allies like Europe.
We're learning a great deal from a tremendous diplomat, former ambassador to Denmark, Carla J. Sands, on the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. If you're listening in Toronto, South Buffalo, Northern Florida, drop us a note. We'd like to hear from you with our 50,000 watts of clear channel power, as we have received letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand. Please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. A little bit more information about Carla J. Sands. She attended Life Chiropractic College, now Life University, and earned a Doctor of Chiropractic degree. Carla Sands had a brief career in acting in the 1980s, appearing in several episodes of the TV series The Bold and the Beautiful. Let's talk about the Middle East. It was a terrible attack on Israel by Hamas. 1,500 people died. Brutal attack, horrendous activity, and thousands then lost their lives in the Gaza Strip. Is the Middle East calming down? Are things getting better there now? Ambassador Carla Sands.
Well, Brian, I think that they are. And, you know, when there's a vacuum of leadership, as there was under President Biden's, presidency in the Middle East, we saw what happened. I truly don't believe October 7th would have happened if President Trump had been in the White House, because I don't think Hamas would have been emboldened and Iran would have been more contained. Remember, Hamas didn't do that on their own. They had support and help from Iran. That was by air, by sea, and by land, that invasion of Israel. But now you see all of the Arab leaders in the whole region come out and denounce Hamas as a terrorist organization that must be defeated. That's really important to see that there's support for Israel's work to eliminate Hamas in that region. My worry, though, is that the people of this area the area of the Palestinian area, which these people are mostly Egyptian and I think Jordanian. But these, they're so radicalized that when France said, well, we'll take some in, they took a woman in from the Palestinian area. And she just was very open and blatant. We want to kill all the Jews. We're coming for you. There's no mercy. The things she was saying were so radical that France said, wait a second, you can't stay here. We're sending you back.
Good.
So, and that's who these people are. They've been brought up. Their mother's milk is kill the Jews. That Golda Meir had a famous saying. She said, and I'm paraphrasing, we'll have peace in Israel when the Palestinians love their children more than they hate the Jews. They bring them up in the preschool to,
terrible,
you know, to pretend that they're cutting off heads of Jewish people. So I think that President Trump will continue his work to bring peace. He's got the ceasefire. There's so many ceasefires he's gotten because he is the peace president. He leads with peace through strength.
Great hope, great opportunity for the world. Let's talk about the attack by the U.S. government on the nuclear facilities in Iran. It seemed to be pinpoint perfect exactly where the blast took place, no loss of lives, and probably setting back their nuclear facilities for 5 or 10 years. Let's get your impression of the result of the attack on the nuclear facilities in Iran by President Trump.
That, I think that it surprised me that he did it, and that's good. He said it was so close hold that it didn't leak was wonderful. I think, as you know, as we read about the attack and learned about it and learned about the details of what these rave men and women did, dropping these bombs and, you know, flying such a long distance, dropping them and getting out without even a response from Iran. It's so extraordinary, the awesome capabilities of the American military, led by a commander-in-chief that doesn't want war but wants peace and knows how to deliver, you know, basically deliver a shot, right, that changed the situation. We had Israel go in and weaken Iran, and now President Trump's efforts with the DOD dropping these munitions on Iran's nuclear sites. I think that Iran, the leaders, the mullahs, are at the weakest they've been since they took over Iran. And that's really exciting, that there's opportunity for the Iranian people to perhaps have the democracy and independence that they want from this brutal totalitarian religious regime.
Terrible situation. Let's talk on a rosier picture. It seems like the Republican Party is doing well. About 18% or 19% of the American public today identify as Democrats, so the Republicans seem to be going on a roll. How do you see the future of the National Republican Committee, Ambassador Carla Sands?
You know, I think it's complicated. I think that President Trump has largely united the Republicans, and they're with him. They, strong majority, love his agenda. They love that he's fulfilling his campaign promises. But we have a couple of headwinds, Brian. One is that Michael Whatley, our incredible chair, is now running for the Senate in North Carolina. So that's a great loss. He is part of the reason that President Trump won in 2024 because of his understanding of the importance of the lawyers being in place on Election Day and in the run-up to Election Day, bringing lawsuits against every single obstruction and illegal activity done by the Democrats, because there's a long history of the Democrats misbehaving. You just remember those cardboards being put up against the windows in Philadelphia back in 2020. And when the legal representative, the lawyers, went with a judge's order to that facility, they were still turned away by security. So the mischief was off the charts. Michael Whatley nipped that in the bud with all of his incredible lawyers and their war rooms in each capital on election night and in the run-up. And so how do we replace that brilliant man who's strategic, and how do so that we can secure the midterm and secure in 2028? And the other thing is that the Democrat Party is being taken over by socialist/communists, which is really bad for America, and it's not good for them to win. Don't believe anybody that says, oh, let them win because then people will see how bad it is. No, they just win there, and then they use their allies to win other places. We don't want communists to take a stronghold in American political life. And the last thing is that at the Young Republicans recently, it was a few days ago, they tried not to seat Trump supporters at the Young Republicans. And they have a leader who's actively supported Black Lives Matter and the whole George Floyd hoax. And so it concerns me that our Young Republicans are maybe out of step with the base and with where the majority of the American people and the Republican voters are.
We have just about 30 seconds left on the Rusk Report. Do you miss your role as ambassador to Denmark?
Oh, my gosh. Brian, it was the honor of my life to serve as President Trump's ambassador to the Kingdom of Denmark. There's nothing like working for President Donald J. Trump.
Wonderful. I'm sorry we have to close the Rusk Report. Special thanks to Kevin Carr, our director of production, who always does a fine job for the past 20 years. And thank you for enlightening us about matters of world importance and national significance. Former ambassador to Denmark, Carla Sands, now chair, America First Foreign Policy Institute, America First Policy Institute. Thank you for enlightening us, and have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.